Walking with this team is just such a joy and a blessing, and they got to know my wife. So we were, we don't always communicate exactly what we mean when we say things, and it just happened Wednesday afternoon at the conference and talking to people, I walk away with 3 job offers. And I'm chuckling and laughing, and I know where I'm going. Like, let me tell you that. I just know where I'm going. But we're just telling the team in the evening, sitting in Brad and Jen's room, and Candace, honestly, she's encouraging me. She goes, you know, they're only talking to you because they're desperate. I knew what she meant. But we had such an amazing opportunity just to be together. And God confirmed so many things in my heart. God spoke. It was just really good season to be together. And during the week I'm thinking about Acts. We're going to talk about Acts 4 and 5. So naturally, my text this morning is Matthew chapter 10, verse 24 and 25a. And stilling myself to hear God and what He wants to say to us is the indispensable part of preaching His Word. I know I can talk for a long time, but my passion is to hear what God would say to us this morning, and I know He has a very specific word for us, for me, for you. And I woke up at 4 in the morning with the profound awareness that God is speaking to me, and then my sleep's gone, I can't sleep anymore, I'm really excited, I'm ready to get up, and I want to share with you what I think we need to hear from Acts 4 and 5. In Matthew chapter 10, so turn in your Bible there, then we'll go to Acts chapter 4 and 5, Matthew chapter 10, verse 24, and the first part of 25. The last part of verse 25 is also applicable, but we just don't have time to talk about it today. And Jesus looks at His disciples, and He says this: a disciple is not above his teacher, nor a slave above his master. It is enough for the disciple that he become like his teacher, and the slave like his master. I've always loved the book of Acts. I can remember as a kid reading it. I was 6, 7 years old, and Acts was like walking into this interactive story. And I love Paul, I love Isaiah, I love the Bible. Acts is really like nothing else in the Bible. And there's a reason for that. And I want to say this to your heart today, that what God began in the book of Acts, He wants to continue in your life today where you are. It is a narrative into which we need to walk, into which we need to believe. I want to inspire faith in your heart today. I started thinking about what in the world am I going to pull out of Acts 4 and 5, because we only have 40 minutes, 45 minutes, not 16 weeks. And that's when God just spoke and said, here's where you need to go with this. So I do want to walk through Acts 4 and 5. And then invite us into that. Into that same dynamic, same reality that we experience. Acts chapter 4 and 5 is the fallout, follow-up of what Russell talked about last week in Acts chapter 3. A man gets healed. He's lame. And Acts chapter 3 and then into chapter 4 and into chapter 5, all are the fallout of that. And I think here's the reason why. Because the synagogue leaders, the Sanhedrin, the chief priests, and the Senate of Israel all of a sudden realize we have got a very big problem on our hands. It is a story that revolves around the presence of the Holy Spirit. Now, we all know Jesus is with us. We talk about Jesus being with us. The reality is he is with us by the Spirit. He's not here. That's why Luke goes to such measures to tell us Peter and the apostles were there and they saw Jesus. He was talking to them and all of a sudden he ascends into heaven. Why does he tell us that? He's not here. And yet they've heard Jesus say, it's really good for you if I go away. I'm thinking, I'm walking with Jesus for 3 years, seeing what I saw, witnessing that, then witnessing him raised from the dead. And I'm thinking, the sky's the limit here. It's like, Jesus, what is there that you cannot? We are going to go with you to the ends of the earth. We're going to follow you. You're going to have this mass following. And then he ascends into heaven. And we come to understand in the economy of God, the eternal plan of God, from the very beginning, from before the world was founded, how he was going to call people and he was going to anoint them to do the work of the kingdom of God on earth. It all happens through Christ, through his life, through his word, by his death on the cross, by the resurrection from the dead, and by the coming of the Holy Spirit of God. So what I want you to do is I just talk about Acts 4 and 5 quite briefly. I want you to recognize with what similitude it reflects the very life of Jesus. This man gets healed, and they've ticked off the church leaders. How did you do this? In what name did you do this? What authority? By what authority did you do this? And they start talking about Jesus. And these people have gone to great lengths and hired their henchmen, the Romans. And they've crucified Jesus and they stuck him in a tomb and they rolled this massive rock in front of it. And all of a sudden, I think they're realizing we have a can of worms here that we cannot close. But all of a sudden, in the same way that Jesus was the object of anger and resentment by the religious leaders, now his followers also are. In the same way that Jesus walked down the street and deliberately encountered people and raised them up like the lame, all of a sudden now it's Peter and John. And they're called to give an answer for what they've taught and what has happened, just like Jesus to the rulers, the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the high priests. And they're warned and they're threatened, just like Jesus. But Acts chapter 4 and verse chapter 5 tell us all they do is they continue to preach Christ. It's this uncontainable life that's flowing out of their heart and touching people. And 3,000 people get saved at the very first post-Pentecost sermon. 3,000 people. And all of a sudden, into chapter 4 and 5, it's 5,000 people. This is days after the ascension of Jesus and the coming of the Spirit of God. And one of the things I want you to remember is that the book of Acts is not here to tell you this is what happened. It is here to tell you this is the normal life and progress of the gospel of Jesus Christ. This is not weird. This is normal. And I'll be very, very honest and frank with you. The church in the West is abnormal. It does not line up with this at all. But it is a deepest conviction in my heart that God is preparing to raise up His church to be what we ought to be in the power of the Holy Spirit. And so they're warned and they're released. And they begin to rejoice. They begin to give thanks that they can suffer for Christ. Because these men, they're looking at Peter and John, and they know they're fishermen. In today's terms, it would be a mechanical engineer. Or an accountant, or chiropractor, or construction worker. In fact, it says they were untrained and untaught. And I am at the place in my life where you give me somebody that loves Jesus, is full of the Holy Spirit of God, and loves His work. You give me somebody like that, and I'll take them over 55 PhDs. Those are the people through whom God changed the world. Housewives, businesswomen, businessmen, laborers touched their life and they became world changers. This is why I believe so much in Tuesday night and what we're going to do together and what we're going to experience. And I just firmly believe the Word of God is the unleashing of spiritual gifts and authority. It is the foundation of all apostolic, prophetic, evangelistic, pastoring, and teaching gifts. The Word of God is just the foundation of it all. But they recognized that these men had been with Jesus and that something noteworthy has happened. And they warned them sternly. Man, what a dynamic in those early days. And then, of course, at the end of chapter 4, we come to the place where it tells a story that people had had, you know, they had extra homes and they had extra fields and lands and possessions. It doesn't mean everybody sold their house and all of a sudden we have this communistic living arrangement. It meant like Tim has four houses or four homes and he sells three of them. That's what it means. When you get a rich person to part with your money, their money, like that, you know it is the work of the Holy Spirit of God. And there are people who have means who give generously because the Spirit of God moves them. And people were doing this. They'd sell their house. They'd come and lay it down. And of course, now we meet Ananias and Sapphira, who also have an extra home or piece of land. And they come and they lay it at the feet of Peter. Incidentally, I'll be standing here after the service. And Peter looks at Ananias, and the Spirit of God speaks to him and says, "Why are you lying to the Holy Spirit? You had this piece of land, and while it was yours, it was entirely under your control. And when you sold it, the money was still all yours to do with what you wanted. But you have conspired to lie to the Holy Spirit. You're pretending." And Ananias falls down, breathes his last, and dies. And then a short time later, a few hours, his wife comes in, and Peter looks at her and says, "So, Sapphira, did you sell this piece of land for $40,000? She goes, yes, we did. And he goes, why have you and your husband conspired to lie to the Holy Spirit of God? The people that came and took your husband and buried him are at the door waiting for you. And she falls down and dies and gets buried. It is an awesome thing for the presence of God to be among his people. And this was life to them. This was just part of the journey. And the Bible tells us that inside the church and those outside the church, great fear filled their hearts. I guess so. And signs and wonders are happening, amazing things. I'm describing to you a life that probably for you, for some of you, is quite outside your normal experience. And the leaders rise up in jealousy and anger against the apostles. And they imprison them in a public jail. And as they're sitting there, an angel of the Lord comes, opens the door, lets them out, and says, go keep preaching. You're not done. And they do, and then the Sanhedrin meets the next day, and they go, come and bring those men, because they need an answer to us. We gave them a warning. And I think all along, Peter and John and James and the apostles, they're looking at them going like, who are you? And when they go get them out of prison, they're not there. And so they stand before them, and Peter again talks about Jesus and what they did to Jesus, and that it's in the name of Jesus that they're preaching and teaching and healing and doing what they're doing. And this violent anger in verse 33 of chapter 5 says, but when they heard this, they were cut to the quick. And those are the same words that will be used about Stephen in Acts chapter 7. They get some calming advice by Gamaliel, and they only whip them and order them not to speak in the name of Jesus, and they went out from the presence of the council with joy that they were worthy to suffer for the name of Jesus. This book has been set up for us. Luke begins his narrative in Acts chapter 1, verse 1 by saying, the first account that I wrote, Theophilus, of all that Jesus began to do and teach. Right? What's the implication? What's the rhetorical answer to it? That Jesus is now going to continue what he began when he was on earth. And of course, the question is how? Because he's gone. How is he going to do this? And the answer comes in Acts chapter 2, verse 1 to 4, when they were all gathered together in the upper room because they devoted themselves to prayer, and suddenly they hear the sound like a mighty rushing wind, and tongues of fire rest upon them, and they begin to be speaking in tongues, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit of God. And then Peter preaches, and at the end of his sermon, he says something profound. He says, if you repent and are baptized, you will receive the same Spirit. And that is about which I want to talk to you today. The mediocrity and the anemic nature of Christian life today is because we don't connect. That the same Holy Spirit of God that anointed Jesus, that fell on the day of Pentecost, is the same Spirit of God who dwells in me and who dwells in you today. Don't talk to me about your limits, your weaknesses, Your frailties, your troubles, your circumstances, your temptations, your sins, do not talk to me about that if the Holy Spirit of God dwells within you. So as I'm lying in bed there, my mind begins to process this. And I want to bring myself and I want to bring you to the point of absolute surrender today to that Spirit of God. And I began to think about the greatness of God. And I am telling you, the way out of your circumstances and your troubles. And we sung about God moving mountains, and He does move mountains. But sometimes He just takes you out of the path of the mountain. And as I'm lying in my bed at 4 a.m. on Thursday, my mind goes to the greatness of God. And I'll illustrate it. In university, I took astronomy and star dynamics. It's the universe just fascinates me. And I just want to talk to you a bit about it. And we're going someplace very specific today. The average galaxy has 1 to 200 billion stars in it, revolving around a massive, supermassive black hole. I know what 10,000 is. I know what 100,000. You get into the millions and I start struggling, but you get into the billions and the hundreds of billions and we shut down. And in the universe, conservatively, there are 100 to 200 billion galaxies. I like thinking about this because it really stretches my mind. If you were to start at one end of the galaxy, at point zero, which is a theoretical impossibility because the universe is expanding faster than the speed of light. But just bear with me and pretend I'm making sense. If you start at this end of the galaxy and you traveled 670 million miles an hour, it would take you 93 billion years to get to the other side. Now, if you drove with Herman in his Mustang, you could cut that in half. But the glory and the wonder of creation, from its macro, indescribable magnitude, to its very detail, to the intricacies of cellular dynamics and down into atomic and subatomic particles governed by quantum mechanics. The universe was created by God in Christ Jesus. And the universe is a pittance in comparison with the glory and the magnitude of the living God. And then what God did is He took His Son, through whom, as Colossians 1:16 tells us, and John chapter 1, verse 1 tells us, the one through whom all things were created by the Word of God, He took Him by the Holy Spirit of God, and He began to knit Him into human form. And the Holy Spirit took the mind of God, and he merged and made one with the mind of a man, and he took the heart of God and knit it together with the emotions of a man, and he took God, the Son, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, caused him to be knit together with flesh and blood and bones and nerves. And Jesus became one of us. You need to be in awe of God and the glory of his creation and the power of the Holy Spirit of God. How is it that the God that did that walked here with us? It was by the power of the Holy Spirit of God, who took this awesome, the only awesome one, really awesome, we should only use of God, and he became flesh and blood, and he became like us. And you read the life of Jesus in the Gospels, how he was rejected and ridiculed and scorned and persecuted and mocked and reviled. But how single-mindedly he walked to the cross. The maker and creator of all, in human form, walked through life knowing our weaknesses, knowing our temptations, knowing our frailties, knowing our limits, knowing everything that we face, all of our relational challenges, all of the what it means to be human. He experienced it all. And he went to the cross. And on the cross, he took upon himself the magnitude of my sins. And I stand here before you this day with those sins gone. And you stand and sit before him today with those sins gone if you belong to Jesus. But here's really what I want to talk to you about today. As you read the book of Acts and you go, man, like Peter was, that's pretty incredible. Yeah, I was walking up to enjoy life and there was a guy sitting there, looked like Brad, but it wasn't, asking for money. He couldn't walk. And I just said, I have something better for you in the name of Jesus. Get up and walk. And he's sitting right back there. That's Peter. Yeah. Paul. It's like, you know, Peter and Paul both, they'd walk down the street and their shadow would fall on people and they'd get healed. Yeah, that's Peter, that's Paul. Stephen, it's like, man, this guy's brave. He gets called before these same yahoos that hauled up Peter and he just starts talking about their history and their rejection of the living God. And they were cut to the quick. And he's preaching up a storm and they're picking up stones. And he's not stopping. Yeah, but that's Stephen. That's not me. And I'm here to tell you today, it is you. It is you. Because the same Spirit who took the living Son of God, the creator of all things, the majestic and eternal and holy second person of the Trinity, and knit him together in human form and sent him to earth, who caused him to be conformed to our likeness is the same Spirit who will transform your life. It is the same Spirit of God. Don't tell me what God can't do. Don't tell me he can't raise up 10 Peters and 10 Stephens and 10 Phillips and 10 Pauls out of this room. And you say, yeah, but I got trouble. Welcome to life. Yeah, but I have struggle with anger. And I struggle with resentment and temper. That's just the parents. And I'm selfish and I'm greedy and all kinds of lusts in my heart. And you need to grasp hold of what Jesus has done on the cross for you. And the promise of the Holy Spirit, who takes angry, jealous, resentful, bitter, lustful, prideful people, and he transforms them into the image of the Son of God. You are not here to be made better, you are here to be made like Jesus. Because God made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. The same eternal Holy Spirit of God that produced and brought about the incarnation is the same eternal Holy Spirit of God that will bring about your transformation. It is the same Spirit. It is the same living God. And this is the promise of God right from the beginning. He begins to preach it in Jeremiah, and when he comes to Ezekiel, Ezekiel says this word from the Lord, "For I will take you from the nations and gather you from all the lands and bring you into your own, and I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean." And if you're here today and you do not feel clean and you need to find cleansing, today you need to come to Jesus and find cleansing for your sin. He is the only fountain that will cleanse you and wash you. And he says, "I will clean you from all your filthiness." He says, "I will give you a new heart, and I will put a new spirit within you. And I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will observe my word." I just know, I am utterly convinced that much of the church in the world today is languishing in mediocrity and in an anemic faith that can do nothing. There is a powerlessness that plagues the church. But I am equally convinced that for every individual that will stand up and come to Christ and lay down their life and lay down their brokenness and believe in the Son of God who loved them and who gave himself for them, and believe in that same Holy Spirit to transform their life, I believe equally that God will touch his church and the world, because it is the same Holy Spirit of God. That we will hear a voice in our ear saying, "Go speak to this person that's on your table." And Brad will speak and God will open their eyes. And he will touch you in your life and he begin to speak to you. and your Christianity will fall away, and your walking faith with Jesus, this living dynamic, will become real to you, and God will speak to you, and He will speak through you, and you will be His hands and His voice and His word extended to people. Why? It is the same Spirit. It is the same Spirit that created the church. It is the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. It is the same Spirit that knit the Son of God into human form. It is the same Spirit who dwells within you. I want to inspire faith in your heart today. My life can be different. I can be different. It doesn't matter who I am. Why? Because it is the same Spirit, the Holy Spirit. Well, God was saying to me at 4 o'clock in the morning, Thursday, was, Eric, you read these stories in Acts chapter 4 and 5 and all the things that happened. And you need to tell people that it is enough for a disciple that he be made like his teacher and a slave like his master. God does not want to make you the best version of you. He wants to make you like Jesus. For whom He foreknew, He predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son. You were destined to look like Jesus. You were destined to talk like Jesus. You were destined to think like Jesus. You were destined to speak like Jesus. You were destined to heal like Jesus. You are destined to prophesy like Jesus. You are destined to be like Him. Why? Because God has given you the same Spirit. Would you pray? The musicians can come. If I could create a hunger in you, I would do that. If I could inspire faith to believe for more, much more than you are, I would do that. I would inspire you today to read your Bible and to look at Jesus, and to watch His life, and look at what He said, and look at how He loved, and look at how He spoke the truth, and look at how He healed, and look at how He walked, and just want with all your heart to be like Him. I have believed for a long time that this will be a church of prophets. I believe that with all my heart. A church, a group of people, a gathering of people who know the Word of God and who declare it, who hear from God and speak it. And that the ministry that will come through and out of this place will begin to have an impact and create ripples that will be felt around the world. And what you need to do sitting here this morning is feel in your heart that you're part of this. If you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus, I'm talking to you and you kind of hear it, but you don't have forgiveness for sin. You don't have peace. You don't have a talking, walking relationship with God. This morning, Russell's going to ask you to respond in a moment and to give your heart and your life to Jesus. And you need to do that. That's why God brought you here today. But for those of you that do walk with Christ, I'd inspire faith in a vision for your life that has nothing to do with you. It's not limited by you. It's not limited by your personality. It's not limited by your gifts. It's not limited by your past. It's not limited by anything. Because in you dwells the same Holy Spirit that dwelt within Christ. And in the same way that Jesus laid aside his will and laid aside his glory and laid aside his power and did what he did and taught what he taught and was triumphant over sin and in temptation and did miracles and signs and wonders in the power of the Holy Spirit, that is the invitation to you and to me to lay down our lives. To resist sin and temptation, to repent and to believe. And if you're here today and you're struggling with sin and it's just got a control in your life, it has an upper hand, you can lay it aside. You must lay it aside. You cannot wait. But come and be cleansed and be filled. Because the same Holy Spirit that indwelt Jesus and empowered him for life and ministry is the same Holy Spirit who is yours. He is a gift of God. And by him, we can truly say thanks be to God who always leads us in the victory in Christ Jesus. So Lord, as we worship and close and take time to pray, I ask you, God, I ask you to plant faith in my heart, in our hearts, to believe. I ask you, Lord, to begin to raise up people out of mediocrity, out of compromise and lukewarmness, and a faith that looks nothing like the book of Acts. And I pray that you bring us into the book of Acts all over again by the power of the Holy Spirit of God. Because the same Spirit who moved Peter and who moved James and who moved Stephen and who moved Paul and Lydia and Priscilla is the same Holy Spirit who dwells with us and within us today.